This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey here with you until 10:35. Let's go out to the Fan Hotline where we find Mike DeFabo from The Athletic talking a little Steelers and OTAs. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Well, I appreciate the song that you had me on to, but I was hoping for a little Grateful Dead since I know we share that music interest.
Yeah, I know. Way back when I had some Dead on, but I guess we have rules on what we can play, and this is not part of the show format, so I'd get in trouble if I played the Dead or Fish. One day, yeah, that's probably my biggest inspiration.
Yeah, probably like a 17-minute guitar solo instrumental would not be a good thing to welcome on, I guess.
Probably not. Hey, just one more minute. They're jamming. That's all right. We'll get there. Just hang on. And my whole show would be one song. Anyway, all right, man. So the Jonnu Smith stuff came out this afternoon. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that the Steelers are interested in some type of a receiving threat behind DK Metcalf. And it tells me that they're exploring a lot of different avenues. And, you know, Jonnu Smith specifically makes sense in the sense that he worked with Arthur Smith before and is a tight end. And it seems like if you've ever played for Arthur Smith or are a tight end, Arthur Smith would be interested in you. And so I know that fans listening probably are like, man, don't they already have a million tight ends? And the answer is yes. But the Steelers led the league in 13 personnel usage last year, or maybe were second in 13 personnel usage, which is three tight ends on the field at the same time. And everyone understands what Pat Freiermuth can do and his potential. They'd like to see a little bit more from him. Darnell Washington, you know that he's, you know, basically he's an extra lineman for all intents and purposes based on the way that the Steelers use him. And Connor Hayward has been underwhelming, I would think. I think if you're going to put three tight ends out there, you'd like a more dynamic weapon. So, I can understand their interest in him. But at the same time, I think that a wide receiver probably makes more sense for this team. And I think that they can also look towards that avenue as they're looking for somebody who's going to catch the football who's not named DK Metcalf.
Do you think this is a case, Mike, more of the Steelers maybe checked and expressed interest versus like there have actually been serious discussions here?
Well, I think that if the price is right, it would make sense for this team because Arthur Smith does feature the tight end position. And, sometimes what happens in these situations is when teams come to a stalemate with a contract negotiation, that's when they get another team involved, and sometimes that settles it for them. And in fact, that was the case with Matt Stafford, despite the fact that Omar Khan, for whatever reason, said that it was fake news that he inquired about Matt Stafford. He absolutely did, and at The Athletic, we have multiple league and also RAM sources that told us that he looked into that. And ultimately, what happened with that negotiation was Matt Stafford looked elsewhere. He heard what his price was going to be, and that helped bring these two sides together. So, you know, there's two ways that this could go. Either that's what happens with Jonnu Smith, and he figures out, okay, here's what the market is, and then the Miami Dolphins can come to resolution, or maybe the Steelers pony up enough that they have another receiving threat and it comes in the tight end form.
Fan Evening Show chatting with Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. You can follow Mike on Twitter or X at Mike DeFabo. Obviously, read his work at The Athletic. Mike, I want to switch gears a little bit to something you wrote, I believe it was yesterday, about Troy Fautanu and Broderick Jones and what they've shown in OTAs so far. I know it's limited, you know, football in shorts, we can only learn so much, but what have your initial impressions been of those two guys together? And secondarily, do you think the offensive line could wind up as kind of a sneaky strength of this team?
Well, the offensive line needs to become a strength of this team. When Omar Khan chose to invest so heavily in the offensive line, I agreed very much with that process. I think that especially if you want to play a brand of football where you're winning games at the line of scrimmage, you have to be strong in the trenches, and that was a weak area for this team. But it went from being like, oh, I've got this unscratched lottery ticket to, man, there better be $1 million underneath that, because if you spend back-to-back first-round picks on offensive tackles, they better be the strength of your team. They better be the reason why you're winning football games sooner than later. And last year, the offensive line let the Steelers down. You know, Dan Moore Jr. led the league in sacks allowed. Broderick Jones was right behind him with 11 sacks allowed, which was tied for second in the league. And meanwhile, they averaged 4.1 yards per carry. Only six teams were less efficient running the football. So they're not playing the brand of football, and they're not getting the return on their investment. And that's where Troy Faletanu's return is important, because in and of itself, it's essentially like adding another first-round pick to this year's draft class because of the injury. And, I think that he, even more than Broderick Jones, I think he's going to have a better first season and better second season than Broderick Jones, just because of his strengths, because of the fact that he is a mauling run blocker, which fits that right tackle position very well. Also, when you talk to him, he just carries himself really well. I mean, it stood out to me that he's sitting there recovering from a very significant surgery, and he said that he was having these dark days in his room thinking, am I going to get back? Does the team need me back? And like, rather than worrying about himself and his own health, he's worried about the team and how he can impact the team. And so really what you're hoping is, now with him at right tackle, that bumps Broderick over to left. And the Steelers have taken what I would think is a strange approach with Broderick Jones. You knew that he was a guy who had all of the skills to eventually become a very productive offensive lineman in this league. But he started just 19 games. And so if you have a raw player like that, rather than streamlining the process and making it easy for him, instead what they said is, learn right tackle, and at some uncertain point, unknown point in the season, you're going to flip to left. And so his head was kind of spinning with that. And so I think the Steelers deserve some blame for the way they handled that situation. And obviously Broderick also is responsible for his own development. And last year, I think he was carrying some sloppy weight. He said he was playing around 325, 330. And as a result, it robbed him of what his strength was. You know, he ran the fastest 40 of any offensive lineman at the combine the year that he came out. And his mobility is really his biggest asset when he's getting out into space or getting up onto that second level to block linebackers and defensive backs. And so when he was a little bit heavier, he didn't have that. So he said that he slimmed down. He's now about 305, 310. And so, you know, I think that that gives him a better opportunity to be successful. But as I started to answer your question, like, if you pumped all these resources into the offensive line and your thought process was, this isn't going to be sexy, but it's not going to be flashy, but eventually in the long term, we're really going to be happy that we made this investment. Well, now here we are year three, and you better start seeing that return on investment sooner than later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, no doubt. It has to be a lot better than it was last year, especially if you have a 41-year-old quarterback, or regardless, have to be able to run the ball. Changing gears a little bit, Mike, to that 41-year-old quarterback, or the potential of a 41-year-old quarterback. I thought you tweeted a funny comment on a story that you wrote about Aaron Rodgers. The natives are restless. They're not terribly happy. How would you describe some of the fan sentiment that you've received relative to Aaron Rodgers?
Well, pretty much any story that I write on Aaron Rodgers, they're like, can we stop talking about this guy? Why are the Steelers even interested? Why have the Steelers sunk this low and stooped so low that they're willing to let Aaron Rodgers put himself above the team and do things in his own way? But this just hints at the quarterback desperation and the lack of a plan that the Steelers had here. And really, they talk so much about in being a member of the front office, you have to act with conviction, right? You might not be right every single time, but you at least have to have some conviction. And that's what I think that the Steelers have lacked at the quarterback position. Like, okay, they were interested in Justin Fields, but only at a certain price. And they inquired about Matt Stafford, but they weren't going to go far enough to pull him away from the Rams. And they thought about maybe Sam Darnold, but when he got to be a little too expensive, no, they weren't really all in on him. And like, at some point, you have to have a strong belief about the most important position in football. And, you know, I just feel like they've really botched this situation start to finish. And now it's left them sitting here at OTAs with no quarterback and your number one wide receiver isn't there. So for what? The better part of a decade, this anemic offense has been dragging down and wasting what's been the highest paid defense in the NFL. And now here they are in OTAs, a time when you're supposed to be coming together as a team. You've got no quarterback and your number one wide receiver isn't there. No one should be fooled into thinking that at any point this spring, the Steelers have improved their passing game, because we haven't seen it on the football field yet.
So I understand the idea of not having conviction. I just don't understand why they have to make up for it right now with the conviction of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I would call this thing off. I'm tired of it, Mike. You probably are too. Why do you think they're so dug in on this?
I think they've almost gotten to the point that now you've exhausted all options, right? Like, if I were them, I would have done what it took to sign Justin Fields, seen if you could have unlocked his potential this year. If you don't, you draft your quarterback, you're good to go, okay? Or you look at the way that they structured Sam Darnold's deal. It's essentially a one-year contract they can get out from under. And so why not take a chance with Sam Darnold? I don't really get it. I watched the Jets, and I wonder if the Steelers did last year, because they were not a good football team, and Aaron Rodgers was not particularly productive. You know, we talked a lot about the offensive line. He was the worst quarterback in the league in terms of EPA per play against the blitz, and that doesn't sound too good, playing behind two young offensive tackles playing new positions for the first time. So I guess what they're thinking is, like, they went on with this process so long that now that it's either Mason Rudolph, basically, Kirk Cousins, or Aaron Rodgers. And so you don't really need to even go and say, we're done with Aaron Rodgers. You can kind of just wait it out and see if he comes, and if not, fall back on Mason Rudolph. That is basically the same thing as, like, saying publicly, we're out on Aaron Rodgers and going with Mason is the same thing as sitting around and waiting, and maybe he doesn't come and you go to Mason Rudolph. So, you know, we'll have to see where it goes. I still think that Aaron Rodgers will sign here, but I also think that it's not going to go very well for them this season with him behind center.
Yeah, and I don't think people are going to be happy about it. That's the frustrating thing. It's just going to be a constant critique storm, and I get it. Chatting with Mike DeFabo, The Athletic. Follow Mike on X at Mike DeFabo. Read his work, of course, at theathletic.com. Mike, changing gears a little bit, I wanted to ask you about the pass rush. Alex Highsmith talked a little bit about T.J. Watt and how they can get after the quarterback better. How can they get after the quarterback a little bit better than last year? What's your confidence level in the pass rush at this point?
Well, you know, the Steelers, they have two great edge rushers in T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. And really what they've done defensively is said, we don't need to, like, scheme things open and scheme opportunities for guys because we can just rely on those two great edge rushers to get it done. The problem is when teams know exactly where T.J. Watt's going to line up every time, they also know if they put a tight end over on that side, and they chip him and they double team him, they get the ball out quickly, it's going to make it really hard for T.J. Watt to be productive. And so, you know, I think one schematic way they could do things differently would be to flip-flop Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt from time to time, add a little bit of unpredictability to their defensive front. They also could consider blitzing more, and that's always a double-edged sword and a bit of a difficult conversation, because when you blitz, you also expose your secondary, and that's the reason why they don't blitz, particularly against good quarterbacks. But the third thing is Derek Harmon, and that's where I think that they could get a different kind of rush, because Derek Harmon, while he is a defensive lineman who's stout against the run, he also led college football last year with interior defensive linemen with 55 pressures. And so that means that that gives him the possibility to contribute early and on all three downs, because when the Steelers go to their sub packages, which they're in about 80% of the time, there's only two interior defensive linemen, and you take your nose tackle off the field. So, you know, he should be a three down type of guy, and even more than, I think he's going to be stout against the run, but even more than that, I think it's his pass rush upside that's really intriguing. So, you know, I think that the Steelers, they at least have the pieces to get to the quarterback better. But if I were in that room, one thing I would be looking at, and if I were part of the decision-making process, is how can we take more calculated risk and blitz a little bit more, get back to their roots? Because Patrick Queen is an excellent blitzer who did not blitz a lot last year, and I don't think they played to his strengths as much as they could have. And, they are a defense that relies very much so on the splash play. And if you're looking to create the splash play rather than necessarily stopping a team on three or four downs, I think that creating pressure would be a good way to do so.
Mike DeFabo, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night.
You too. Thanks, Jason.
All right, man. Mike DeFabo from The Athletic does an awesome job. Check out his stuff, theathletic.com. Very easy to find. I really enjoyed the story that I read. What a healthy Troy Tanu and Leaner, easy for me to say, huh? Broderick Jones mean for the Steelers offensive line. Follow Mike on Twitter or X at Mike DeFabo. A lot of good stuff in there. We'll unpack it when we come back. First, I want to tell you that Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. Again, I want to react to a few things Mike said. I want to talk a little bit about Troy Tanu and Broderick Jones and what they've brought so far. Definitely an encouraging storyline so far. How can the Steelers pass rush? How can that improve? Certainly an area that they need to pay attention to. Also up next, we're going to listen to some audio from Alex Highsmith today at Steelers OTAs, courtesy of Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. He was there doing excellent work gathering that. So we're going to take a listen to that and react when we come back. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.